Look through the window of the original Joe's on North Beach and you'll see two guys at the counter talking ball. Time for you to listen in to their conversation. Marty Lurie and the SF Chronicles' Bruce Jenkins are looking through the window of baseball. Sponsored by Original Joe's of North Beach and Westlake on KNBR 680, the sports leader.
All right, beautiful afternoon here in Scottsdale. And how about that open, Bruce Jenkins? How'd you like that?
Yeah, you know, these Original Joe's windows aren't bad. I see the game so much clearly now.
I know, as we sit at the counter together. I love it. Very nice. Hey, Tony Ryan, thank you so much for putting that together. How are you?
Very well, Marty. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. And it was nice seeing you down here. And, You know, I try to bring the flavor of this spring training, and you do it in the Three Dot Lounge and all the stories you did while you were down here. But, Bruce, just sum it up. As you know, I'm sitting here. It's 12:15. The field is beautifully lined. It's all green. The little breeze going out to left field, and the fans are coming in. The berm is filling up. It's just a great place to be.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, the 4 days I was there, the weather was really pretty cold. At night, it was like biting cold. But, there, you know, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. The field looked great. So maybe you're wearing a sweater or a sweatshirt. Still a fantastic place to be in the springtime. I would just really highly recommend it for fans to come down and take a look at it. Stay in Scottsdale if you possibly can and branch out from there. Maybe just wait for the Giants to play their home games in Scottsdale. But it's, you know, it's one of the great spring training venues, and it was a real treat to be there again.
Yeah, you know what I thought about, and I know maybe you and I talked about it. This is like a throwback to the old spring training venues when things are really close. A lot of the ballparks, I mean, Glendale, you know, you and I are out there, and, you know, there's no shade. It's just diamonds all over the place, and Salt River looks like the Diamondbacks could play there. This place looks like a minor league spring training park, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. Several years ago, I was able to go down to Florida for a week or so to stop off at one camp or another, and whether it was Bradenton or Sarasota or Lakeland or Fort Lauderdale, all of those parks, some of which are no longer in existence, were just fantastic places to go to. You could sit real close. You know, the umpires would be chatting with the fans in the first row. And I'll never forget Steve, the great and late Steve Palermo, was walking along the first baseline, and a fan offered him a drink, and he took it. It looked like it must have been a cocktail. But it's just the intimacy has been lost a little bit. If you want to go watch the Dodgers in Glendale, you'll notice a difference in ballparks. It's certainly not a disaster, but I kind of like the old, almost semi-rickety parks that go back a lot of years, you know?
Yeah, Joker Marchant Stadium.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly, yeah.
In Lakeland. Hey, news in around baseball, I just want to touch on it with you. Someone who's not doing well, and we hope he can get better, and we're not talking about Cepeda, who's making nice, steady recovery right now. Mm-hmm. But Rusty Staub, I saw that this morning. Was not doing well and has got some kidney issues, and he's in the hospital, and the prayers and thoughts are going out to him. Rusty Staub, Bruce, you know, I saw him play, I think, when he broke in Houston. The Houston called 45s when he was only 19. He turned out to have a heck of a major league career.
Yeah, a real good left-handed hitter, good first baseman, Le Grand Orange, didn't they call him that?
Yes, that's right.
You know, not a really a chiseled athlete, but, you know, typical baseball. The guy had great timing and instincts, and it was a very good left-handed hitter and can play the field. Yeah, he had a nice career. You hope for the best for him.
Yeah, traded for Mickey Lolich. How about those two stomachs being traded?
Yeah, Lolich, an even greater baseball thing. A guy looked like he had about 19 hot dogs in the morning and goes out and throws 12 innings, and he's ready to go 2 days later.
Yeah, he brought the donuts in the morning. He was the guy who brought them in the morning.
Yeah, sometimes he just hoarded them and ate all of them himself.
Believe me, Mickey Lolich, come on, he was terrific. Hey, today the matchup, I wish you were here sitting with me down where we always sit behind home plate. Johnny Cueto makes his first appearance for the Giants, and he goes against Cole Hamels, who should probably go at least three today, I assume.
Boy, talk about stylist. That's a beautiful matchup. Hamels is all style. The stylish left-hander is embodied in Cole Hamels, and he's done an awful lot of great things. And Cueto has a style all of his own, although it reminds a lot of people of Luis Tiant. You never know what pitch is coming, what kind of delivery he's going to have. Is he going to quick pitch? Is he going to do a little shimmy? All of which I love. I mean, you have to have success, but he's had a ton of it. And he's a big key to the Giants this year. I think he's, it sounds, everything you hear, it sounds like he's ready to have a big year, and that'll be huge.
Well, they have him here since the beginning of spring training. And Brucey and I get here, as we all do, about 8 o'clock, 8:30 in the morning. He's out there running every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's out there running. He's doing his bullpens and, you know, trying to stay in shape. So he's an old throwback. He gets his arm in shape here, not before he gets here. Most guys, Bruce Bochy told me, most guys throw three or four bullpens before they get here. Bumgarner doesn't, and he doesn't. They do it here.
Yeah, Lincecum's kind of like that, too. You could tell him you're going to pitch in 10 minutes, and he'll be out there with no warning. He'll be out on the mound ready to go. Give him about 8 warm-ups, and yeah, everybody's a little different, and you know the human arm remains the great mystery. But what I think whatever Cueto believes in doing, I would trust. His problems have been, you know, blisters and other things. If the arm has generally been pretty sound.
Buster Posey's still not behind the plate. Bruce, am I getting a little concerned? Why not? It's the surgically repaired ankle. He tweaked it, so you never know what that means in the medical world. But he's not catching, and they say maybe next Thursday.
Yeah, it's a little troublesome. I mean, we see this with the Warriors, with Stephen Curry had a surgically repaired ankle that he has had troubles with subsequently, even as recently as last night. And it wasn't bad. The Posey's doesn't seem bad, but ankles are funny. I mean, they're very vulnerable even after the surgery. And I would just hope that they, you know, whenever he is proclaimed to be ready, I'd sit him out a few more days, you know, just to make sure, because that's, especially for a catcher, you know, there's so much stress on your lower body, and you know the Giants obviously can't have any kind of significant injury to Posey.
No, well, the outfield situation is also, you know, March 29th is going to be here before you know it, and again, March 7th or 8th will be here next week, and it gives you that little area to get everyone together, you know, get everyone in shape, because they got to hit the ground running. Penson left hasn't played a lot, and it's opening up, Bruce. I'll tell you, it's opening up a little bit of Williamson, who's changed his swing, and he's hitting the ball hard. Slater is still in the mix, and then you get Duggar and Blanco. So all of a sudden, the outfield is starting to look like maybe it's going to have a little bit of competition.
Yeah, I think Pence's injury problems are not serious. I think it's just precautionary stuff, but it's probably a blessing because it gives Bochy a look. You know, you hate to rule out guys like Parker and Williamson because they have so much potential. I mean, Parker, from what I've seen, hasn't been very impressive in the field or at the plate. But Williamson needed to change his approach at the plate, and he's done that. And, you know, unbelievable power on that guy. And, you know, pretty good outfielder, so... He'd be a good guy to make the team somewhere on the bench to come off with some power.
Well, the key when you get down to the end of spring training is the word options. And I don't mean choices. If you've got a major league option where you could go to AAA, they send you. And they don't like to lose inventory. So, you know, guys who are out of options have a chance to make a team, and guys with options, they'll send them down and bring them back 3 weeks later or something like that. So, but this outfield thing, believe me, once you want to see Pence out there running and playing left field.
Yeah.
And then you figure out what's going to happen. I thought Bumgarner pitched pretty well yesterday. Stratton had another good game. Bruce, we saw him in Glendale together at the curveball. Had another very good outing. Block had a good outing. Andrew Suarez had a good outing. We haven't seen Melanson yet, but the starting staff, at least for here, for whatever it means, at least they're taking their turns.
Well, yeah. I mean, you'll take that over a guy who's, you know, he's had that sort of spring training dead arm kind of thing, which is always alarming, or starting to feel a little pain in the elbow, which could lead to God knows what. But yeah, you know, Stratton, he's one of the guys that a lot of people are talking about around spring training with the great curveball, the great spin rate, which ranks right up there with the top guys for as little as he pitched. That pitch is a real gem. And, you know, Beatty and Block, they've got options. They've got choice. The choice is kind of options.
Yes.
And it's good, I mean, to have a little depth. You know, nobody really knows about Beatty or Stratton or Block, but I think Bochy feels pretty good about, you know, putting two of those guys in there and the other guy in the bullpen. Probably, you know, Block could be very valuable in the bullpen as a left-hander. Mm-hmm. He could be a long reliever or maybe even pitched, you know, the sixth or the seventh. So, yeah, I think it's pretty promising.
You had a nice item about Evan Longoria today in your three-dot lounge.
Yeah, in 2000, he did a lot of amazing things in Tampa Bay. But in 2011, the last day of the season, they need to win to get into the postseason. They're trailing 7-0, and they scratched their way back. And in the bottom of the ninth, Dan Johnson, who had played for the A's and had gone to Japan and was basically just an obscure guy hanging on, he did one homer all season. Well, he homers with two out and two strikes in the bottom of the ninth to send the game in extra innings. And Longoria winds up winning it. Walk-off homer to put Tampa Bay into the postseason on the last day of the season, which is a scenario that hadn't happened since Bobby Thompson in 1951.
Yeah. Wow.
The Giants win the pennant, you know. I mean, an epic moment. This is one of the reasons why Longoria is so beloved in Tampa Bay. I mean, he did great things almost every year he was there. And you know, the Giants are lucky to have a class act like that.
Yeah, he's in there today, by the way. Yeah, he's playing third base today,
yeah.
So that's going to be a good one. Well, it's been here we go, another week. But I'm anxious to see Cueto today to see what he does. But, again, he comes in here to get in shape. So you have to just let him pitch, and whatever happens, happens with him. But generally,
that used to be the way it was for most guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Usually they had to, in the days when salaries weren't so great, they'd have some kind of job in the off season, then they'd show up in spring, and then they'd get in shape from there. But Cueto's a bit of an exception there these days.
Corey Guerin, the human rain delay. But they're working with him to, you know, this is interesting, to vary his times of holding the ball. Because if your hands on the same, you go to the stretch and you stop, and then you could count to 20. And, you know, he may not throw the ball. So he was pitching against, first of all, the Angels put on a clinic first to third. Mike Socha still has that down. Believe me, it was a good lesson for the Giants. But Guerin's got the ball, and he's holding it, and the guy steps out. And I thought, well, he's going to buzz him, you know, the next time, and that's the way it works. And instead, he quick pitched him.
Well, good.
I
talked to Guerin late last year and Dave Righetti when it looked like pitch counts were going to be in play this season, and Righetti said this is going to screw up Guerin because of the way that he works, and he's going to have to change. And then Guerin said, listen, whatever they do, I can adjust to that. And I think, you know, it'd be good to start doing that now because the pitch counts could be in play next year. But yeah, to mix it up a little bit, and you know, he'd be like a statue out there. You know, I mean. It's one thing to screw up a hitter's timing, but it's another thing where everybody's falling asleep in the infield.
Yeah,
the guys behind him cannot be thrilled about that.
No, it's very unusual. It's an unusual delay, you know, you know, in the pace. You talk about pace of play. But he's working with it, and he really is. And it's interesting to see that. That was one of my highlights of the week, to see that happen. You know, because I love gamesmanship. I just like I like when, you know, they steal signs or whatever it is. I like to see them working on the game. I like that.
Yeah, and that's one thing. If they bring in the pitch clock, you know, for pitchers and hitters, it's going to cut down on the gamesmanship angle. Of course, it can go way too far when a hitter just keeps stepping out and takes, like, is it 45 seconds between pitches? that's got to go. And stepping out, like, right before a guy pitches, that's BS. That guy should get drilled. Like, just as he's about to throw, the guy calls time. Forget about that. But it's a game of timing and rhythm and, you know, instinct and part of it's changing things up. You know, if things are going bad, you either speed it up or slow it down, whatever you think. And that's a big part of the game.
Well, exactly. Hey, great to talk to you. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a good afternoon, Bruce.
All right. Talk tomorrow, Marty. Thanks.
That is Bruce Chow. Always a pleasure to talk with him. Well.